Hi, welcome to the Career Refresh Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Griffin. I'm a former media and marketing executive turned career strategist and executive coach. I spent my career working my way up and through the ranks of global organizations and startups, and today I show others how to do the same. Join me each week as we discuss the strategies and actionable steps to leverage your strengths, increase your confidence, and develop your career well-being. Ready? Let's do it. Hi, friends. Welcome back. This week, I am talking about lessons learned from various jobs and how it's really helped my success overall. But before I get into that, I do want to share a victory that has happened to a few people in my world. Two are clients, one is a friend, and all three of them asked if I would help them with letters of recommendation to go to one grad school and two to get their PhD. And I am thrilled to announce that they have all been accepted. And amazing, amazing programs. We're talking RISD, we're talking Brown, we're talking one at UNC Chapel Hill, one at Clemson, and just so exciting to see people creating what's next for themselves. I share it as proof that when you put your mind to something and you really work on creating the results, that these are the things that are possible. I also think it's important to know, especially as a lot of us often think about our careers and ageism, that one was over 40 years old and two were over 50 years old, and this is what they're creating for themselves. So again, I'm just sharing it as an example of possibility, of example of really focusing and looking at, you know, what it is that you want to create in your career. And I hope you take that away as something that you can apply in your life and you can go after and create possibility too. All right. Today's episode topic. It's about the lessons that I've learned from the various jobs that I've had and how those have continued to serve me over the years. And sometimes, let me be clear, these were not necessary lessons that I wanted to learn. These were not things that I necessarily wanted to experience. But even in the ones that I hated, they were still really great lessons. So first is when I was very young, under the age of 18, I mean, I was probably like 14 or 15, I got a job booking funerals at a church. I know, totally weird, but someone had to do it. And at first I was just like, all right, what's the big deal? You just do intake. And then in time, you know, you're doing intake, but often at times you're talking to the families. And it really gave me great pause and listening with empathy and compassion. And as I've said before, compassion to me is empathy in action, which means that, yeah, we can feel for the other person and what they're going through, but compassion comes in where you actually put those feelings and into action and to drive change and results. And, you know, without going into great detail, but just the additions that I was able to implement at even such a young age within the church, within the funeral homes, able to recommend changes that put the family in grief front and center to the process and making sure that they were held and supported throughout the entire experience. May seem obvious that should be what's happening within a funeral home and a church, but not always so obvious when people at times mean well, but forget that their job is actually servicing someone in their time of need. So compassion and really starting to see the needs of people and seeing and learning from people and learning from them individually, which really fed into my next role that I'll talk about, was I worked as an employee for a contractor to the U.S. military. And part of the work there was to create large-scale marketing programs blending brands. So it might be a supermarket brand or a national brand along with something that perhaps you'd get at Walmart. So you know, you're taking a brand name chicken and you're taking a condiment and you're creating a recipe and experience for various family members so that they're able to get discounts and also taste the food. If you've ever gone to any of the big box stores and, you know, especially like a Costco or a Sam's Club, you know that sometimes that there's someone who's there serving food and giving you a sample of the foods that you're actually bringing it. It was that type of work, but at a at a level in which we were actually preparing the food and mixing the two things together. My role was to oversee the staff who was doing that at some 20 to 30 U.S. military bases, which was also an amazing experience to get to go around these various bases and really meet the people in the local communities. It taught me a lot. I had enormous respect for military to begin with, but it also taught me a lot around the families that are left here while their loved ones and family members go mostly overseas to serve in the military, and really how that remaining family works to survive. And one of the things is obviously feeding the family and you know, having community, having them come out. So it really helped me see people and see their needs and not just see them as stereotypes. I think in marketing, we often do a lot of psychographics and we try to create personas of who people are. And I think this work really gave me a deeper level of understanding. And it also gave me an understanding of, like, clarity, I would say, more than understanding, that for me, being of service and giving back was going to be a theme throughout my life. Later, it helped me find an opportunity to volunteer with Gold Star families, who are families who have lost a loved one in the act of war, and then to help those families individually and volunteer with those organizations. So, you know, just summing that up, you know, giving back, seeing people on an individual level, not seeing them as a stereotype, as a persona, but really learning from people's needs individually. The next role that I think is notable is I worked at Atlantic Records, and that was about the power of networks and networking. You know, it was so important to be able to network not only with club owners and managers, but also to network with, if we were creating a production or video, you know, making sure that you had those various editors and sound producers readily available to you, and that power of knowing that you were going to do favors for people, and that if you last minute had a gig that needed to be recorded or something that needed to be done, you also had that power of network and networking, which was vital and still is vital in our careers, right? The other thing that it taught me was, I would say, the skill of quality, where you're working with celebrities and you're seeing people who are topping the charts each week and they're sitting in the conference room with you. And this idea that, talent is treated with respect, but so is everybody else in the organization. So is everybody else that was working and servicing the account. And I think where it was really amazing is the man that I worked for made sure that everybody was equally treated, but it was also, you know, I remember there was one night where I was working late. I mean, it's the record industry, right? So I walked down the hall to get myself a Diet Coke and I'm putting coins into the machine and I turn and it's Tori Amos and she's standing in the kitchen and she's short change. And I'm probably 22, 23 years old. And just that power of equality and being able to talk to her as a human. She was lovely, by the way. Had some extra change, gave it to her. She was, you know, forever grateful. So she could grab her Diet Coke and go back to her meeting that she was having down the hall. But just that idea of, they're celebrities, they're people too. They don't always want people gushing on them like fans. And whether it's a business call or a meeting in a conference room, being able to stay level-headed and treat people as people, this has helped with, I mean, I could list off, it would probably be obnoxious after a while, but just thinking about, like, Robert Plant, Oprah, President Obama, just some of the people, in addition to Tori Amos that I just mentioned, just some of the people that I've had very close contact with through some of these serendipitous experiences. And it really taught me how to stay level-headed and, you know, to treat everyone, you know, through the lens of equality. The next thing that I would say that I learned, which I'll tell you, I hated it. I didn't hate the job, but I hated the task, was the understanding that the power of data, the intersection of data, insights, strategy, and where it all came together. And I worked in a role that was within a media company. And in my early days, it was in media operations. And my boss at the time said that systems go down and you have to know how to work when a system goes down, or if a system, you know, inadvertently pulls in the wrong data feed, that you're able to notice the error. So for a week, I had to do all of the data reporting, which was taking in all of the advertising dollars spent on about 10 different networks, taking in all of the data we received, which at the time was mostly through 800 numbers, like people ordering things in call data, and overlaying the advertising, the network, when the time, when the show actually ran, and the call data, and then seeing what insights came out of. And it was how we were able to tell if a particular show was performing well against an audience, because the commercial that ran in that show drove a lot of sales or a lot of revenue. So seeing patterns in data, seeing trends, kind of, when I look at it now, it kind of feels a little bit extra intuitive of how fast I was able to really zone in and see data. It also has helped me, going back to both networking and in seeing data, it's also helped me to have enormous understanding of the role that our various colleagues in data science, behavioral science, and in research play, right? Sometimes if we're in the marketing or the more consumer side of things, the more brand side of things, that may be an area where we know it feeds into what we're doing, but we don't necessarily understand. It gave me an enormous understanding and how quickly I befriended and loved on my various research colleagues, and really that power of data to tell a story. Which goes into the next role that I had, a role as a content lead in one of the world's largest content agencies, and the power of storytelling and how to use a product to move a narrative forward, which of course today helps so many of my clients that I work with, in which they are the product because they are potentially putting themselves up for promotion or they're getting a new job, and how when often when we are marketers, it's really hard to market ourselves. So having that power of storytelling and teaching them how to tell a story a different way based on the data inputs, and that way, meaning their resume, that was really, really, did not realize how pivotal and impactful that idea of knowing how to tell a story from different angles was going to be. So instrumental to both my own career and to the people that I serve. And then I think, you know, that also the other side of that role, which was incredibly phenomenal, is like where you can use both creativity and negotiation skills and to create what's not for sale, to create something from scratch, which within media and advertising, and again, working with major networks, you know, wasn't common. And when you're creating something that's not there, you're giving an opportunity for your client, which is the brand owner, to have a different type of conversation with a potential buyer. And I think also that negotiation skills is learning how, yes, there are things that you want, but the person that you're negotiating with needs a win too. Because if it's all your win, then it feels like someone's being taken advantage of, not necessarily a negotiation or an equal win. You want to create an experience where both parties feel like they're getting a win. I had an experience where I was negotiating with a major media company, and my client was really driving the cost and wanting the cost to come in at a certain number. And just having a really open conversation with my partner at the media company, who said, like, Jill, I could give it to you for that number, but you're going to get no extras. There'll be no customer service. There'll be no pivots if things go wrong. You've cut so into my profit that I can't afford to run this piece of business. So if you just want to run it as is and like no alterations, no nothing, sure, we can do it. That was really, really vital to understand in the negotiation. Again, I was young and trying to learn as I was going, but bringing that information back to my client, where my client didn't want the media vendor to not have a win. You know, that's not a good way of creating a relationship, but understanding the economics better then helped us in the negotiation. So creating that mutual win, it's not, someone's not going to want to continue to do business with you if every time they do, you win and they lose. Next lesson came from getting laid off. The first time I was laid off, you know, high risk, high reward. It happens within media, marketing, tech. And it was pretty devastating. I was like, wait, what? I've always been a top performer, but the entire department was laid off and it was what it was. What I learned, though, about myself was the power of resiliency, grit, the power of building a reputation on excellence, the understanding that the role that mindset plays in what you do next, right? You need to feel, you need to grieve if you need to grieve, you need to figure out what's next, but the idea of deciding like, okay, you're up, what are you going to do about it? And really having my own back, which was so, so important. And again, the power of networking, which also, I think, also brings me into starting my own business. You know, April of 2023 is 6 years of being an independent worker and having started my own business. And all of these lessons have definitely played out as true. And all of these skills that I've learned have come into my own business in ways that I did not realize. You know, I had a lot of success in my business very quickly. And a lot of people were like, wow, within 6 months, you're already up to speed and you're already bringing in that kind of six-figure revenue and what's happening. And it's like, yeah, one could look at it as 6 months. One could also look at it as 30 years of excellence, of learning, pivoting, understanding how to up-level your mind. And in order to create your own business or your own project or to go for the promotion, whatever the thing is, you have to upscale your brain. And that is through mindset work and constantly asking yourself what's possible and really thinking about the future you and what would the future you say and what would the future you tell you today what to do. And all of that was so invaluable in ways that I just never knew was going to help me really be successful. So the next thing that I'll share is where, you know, you judge a book by the cover. And this was also not one of my favorite experiences, but I worked at a digital health startup and I thought, gosh, this is aligned with my values and it was mission driven. And it, you know, while the CEO was outstanding, it was an organization of mean girls, bad behavior, tech bros, fedoras, yurts, crazy town, totally crazy town. Other people at other levels of leadership felt very trapped. There was sort of this ecosystem that it was too fragile. The fear of what happens a lot in startups where, like, in order to make these change, there's too many things that will break, so we can't make the change. You know, and I eventually left. But that idea of thinking that just because something was mission driven, that it was going to be aligned to my values. And it wasn't, I mean, the mission was absolutely aligned to my values. There were absolutely people there that we had shared values, but that just because something is nonprofit or mission driven doesn't mean that it is strategic, innovative, collaborative, or respectful. What I find that happens a lot, and I hear this through many clients that I work with too, is in some of these newer startups or mission-driven startups, that because they don't have budgets, they end up getting people that are either inexperienced or unqualified. And because of that, they may be really smart, but don't have the training. So they don't understand the basics of, I don't know, collaboration, partnership, being a colleague, and knowing how to have that shared win that we talked about. So that was a real eye-opener for me, because I was very sure that being in a mission-driven company or experience would definitely align with my values, and it was a very, very off alignment. So those are the things that I've learned, right, over the time. This idea of the power of data, using creativity and innovation within negotiations, making sure that negotiations are rooted in fairness, also the power of networks, the power of understanding people as an individual, finding compassion for people along the way, and in the end, knowing that a mission-driven place, that there needs to be shared values and that the organizational structure also has to align to your values. So I want to know from you what you have learned in the lessons in the unexpected places in your careers. So drop me a line at hello@jillgriffincoaching.com. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you've experienced and if you also have stories that relate. Okay, my friends, I wish you a beautiful week. And as always, here's to possibility. Hey, thanks for listening to the Career Refresh Podcast. If you're enjoying this and you want more information, go to my website, jillgriffincoaching.com. There you can find information on how to work with me one-on-one or my group programs, or even bring me into your workplace. I'll put the link to my website in the show notes. But hey, listen, before you go, do me a favor, rate and review this podcast, because it definitely helps me get the word out to people everywhere so that they can also thrive in the workplace. All right, friends, I appreciate you. I'll see you soon.